But you have quite a few things to say about technical issues. This thing about linseed oil, walnut oil, you want to explain that because it's, I think that is vital information for people to have.
Well, I'll say, where should I begin? Well, I mean, I started with linseed oil with turpentine, like the half and half
As a medium.
mixture, which I think Odd was using when I was here. And I think that's a very like standard historically used medium for oil painting. And so I had been using that for many years, and it was in my studio in San Francisco, and one of my old high school painting friends came to visit, and he was looking at my paintings and noticed that I love paint, and he saw like, oh, well, you like to paint in a buttery sort of manner, you'd probably like walnut oil. And he's like, one of the benefits of walnut oil is that you don't really need turpentine to cut it into a medium and to clean up. So I went to the store and I got some and tried it out until I ran out. And one of the things I noticed was when I went back to the linseed oil that I had was that immediately I could tell that my lungs felt a little bit of irritation, and then when I'm holding my palette and the rag is sort of hanging over the tips of my finger, that the skin after my nail was kind of peeling back a little bit, and it had always been peeling back, but I didn't realize that it stopped peeling back when I stopped using the turpentine. So looking into it a little bit
That
more,
was turpentine, not the linseed oil.
that was linseed oil cut with turpentine. So I'm like wiping my brush on this rag, and so the rag is being a little bit soaked with this linseed oil and turpentine, and
But you
so
know, or you think that it was the turpentine that caused that, and not the linseed oil itself? Okay, yeah.
Because the turpentine and solvents have aromatic ring compounds. So there are these compounds that are volatile and evaporate very quickly, and many of them are mild irritants. So what happens is you can be used to them because they're just a mild irritant. But my understanding is that for some people, it can get to a point where you're mildly irritated for many, many years, and then it's like bending metal, and then all of a sudden it just breaks. And I suspect that might be what happened to David Laguerre, who has a lung condition now. Because when I went to his studio when I first met him, I guess it was about 2003, December, I kind of he had a studio with very, very high ceilings, but I noticed right away that the fumes felt a little bit strong inside. And so I asked him about it, and he said, oh, it's not to worry because I have such high ceilings. And I was like, don't you need like a vent fan or something? He's like, no. So I was like, well, he's obviously more experienced and probably knows better, and it's just me being oversensitive, so I just kind of like pushed it aside. But after my experimentation and then realizing that my lungs were irritated and my skin was peeling back on my fingers, I decided to just go back to just get more walnut oil. And so yeah, it was about 2010 that I started using it, and I'm still using it.
But the thing about normal thing is to talk about to go to work from lean to fat. So, but you said that with walnut oil, you don't need turpentine. So how does that play out?
So, and that took a little bit of experimenting to figure out a way to create a wider spectrum of lean and fat. So, I mean, one of the ways is the preparation of the ground. I still use the chalk oil ground, and
With what kind of oil?
If I want it to dry fast, I still use the cooked linseed oil, but I don't use turpentine with that, and I'm not using a brush with that. I'm using just a knife, so there's no need for turpentine in cleanup or cutting. But yeah, so that I guess that's the one point in which linseed oil is still around. But So the first layer, you know, no medium. And then the second layer...
just dry paint, so to speak.
Yeah, just paint either from the tube or stuff that I make, but with not adding and thinning it and making it more oily. But then, so I get the walnut oil in a large amount in as cold pressed walnut oil. But what I found is like when layering the cold pressed, you get into a point where you see the problems with like fat over lean, and it starts to kind of bead up like water on a surface.
So, because the what is underneath is quite fat, so yeah. It doesn't sink in or.
Yeah, which was you know annoying. So I was using sandpaper and everything, but then I had someone visit my studio, Open Studios in Brooklyn, a paint maker, and we started talking, and he showed me his setup where he thickens the oil that he uses to make the paint. So he had this all of these slow cookers set up. And he had filled them all the way to the top, so there wasn't much exposure to oxygen, and then would cook the walnut oil for about like 2 weeks, he said.
But cook meaning not boiling, but...
Yeah, just like heating.
Simmering
on
a
low setting. There's no boiling, it's just sort of like warmed. So I realized I had this kind of small fondue pot that came with a slow cooker that I bought. And so I started using that, and I cooked it for 2 weeks, and that solved the problem where it created another type of walnut oil that was more fat that would go over the previous layers better.
Yeah, but then cooking for 2 weeks, meaning having it on constantly or yeah. during daytime or like?
I just leave it in. Yeah. I figured it wasn't going to like explode. I mean, it was a little scary at first. You know, I was like, I think I'll put it on like the far corner of the room and just, you know, cross my fingers. But it's fine. It just heats up, and then, you know, and then I pour it into like a bottle or a jar. And when you heat it, it does darken the oil a bit, which is good. And maybe that's like a segue to like relating it back to Apelles, because Apelles supposedly had a dark varnish that he put over his work. That made everything work well. And a lot of people, I think some people misinterpreted it as asphaltum that he was putting over it, but that's like tar, and that's not right.
Get into the whole 19th century tragedy of running.
Yeah. But it might have been something more like the black oil technique minus the resin part. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the black oil technique has you heat up linseed oil, but you add flake lead. Will Wilson does that, and he lives in Mexico now. But, okay, with that aside, so that's like a historical thing, and I don't mess with that because I, you know, lead flakes in the studio or not. I don't really want to do that because I think that's pretty dangerous. But there is a component of tubed oil paint that is very common, and it keeps the pigment from separating out of the oil, and it's considered a gelling agent, and it's called aluminum distearite. And so it's basically like these aluminum flakes that when you add it to the oil makes it more like gel-like, so mm-hmm. that the pigments cannot like sit like settle down into the. Because if you hadn't used that and you put it in a tube, you would have all the pigments kind of starting to clump together and then the oil separating out. So in the same way that maybe the lead flakes were used maybe in Rembrandt's medium, which is, you know, people theorize to make it more thick and jelly-like, I sometimes use this aluminum stearate in while I'm heating the oil, so I have another type of slightly thicker oil.
Okay.
Yeah, and it does work. And some,
like, how do you get that in powder or just like a piece or?
Yeah, I get my oil and pigments and stuff from Kremer in New York. They have I think they're, Dr. Kremer's originally from Germany, but he has a store in New York as well. And so they have like all the different things to use material-wise, and the staff is pretty knowledgeable, and you can check in with them. And then the other way I sort of check in when I'm experimenting is, well, I have a lot of material and technique books that I look into. When I was working with one artist in Seattle in the early 2000s, she said if I wanted to work with her in the studio, I had to read this like stack of material and technique books before she would even consider that. So I blazed through them as quickly as I could. And reading one after another so quickly, I could see the pattern. So I'm like, okay, all the books say the same thing about this. Mm. And that helped kind of set up like a system of logic and understanding of materials that where I didn't constantly need to be going and referencing. Like okay. It just, there was like a general understanding. And then whenever I would kind of experiment maybe a little, what felt a little bit like a new territory, I would check in with this painting conservator friend, and she recently passed away, unfortunately.
But can I pause you there?
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask is a little bit more detailed about lean over fat with walnut oil.
Yeah.
But just before that, do you have any tips of books on technique that are really good? Because there's all these advices that are thrown out there, and some of them are really not very helpful. And like what's your experience? What books?
Yeah.
Is it good to read?
I think,
remember.
Yeah, I'm
going through.
I haven't. I have like I read through them. That was like 20 years ago, and I still have some of them on my shelf.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you could send me some stuff later, and maybe we could add it.
Max Dorner is one that's good, and then there's
Dorner.
Yeah, and Gottsinger is another good one. But yeah, I'll give you a list of which ones I think are the best.
And, okay, good.
And I think for this, whatever I'm developing, whether it's has any issues or not, I feel like I did write an essay, but it was put on an online article, and that platform is now gone, so I need to republish it. Mm. But some of these things which kind of seemed experimental because I couldn't find other contemporaries doing it, it's been interesting in reading some of these more obscure texts that I'm finding hints that other people did it. Like this, one of the things I started to play with as a kind of extending the vocabulary of the medium and the way the paint works is that Rembrandt and possibly Rubens and Velasquez all used that chalk component that Odd uses in his ground in the different layers of paint. And I feel like it's...
In the medium or in the paint, or it's difficult to say, I guess.
Yeah. So, for example, one thing that I often do when I'm starting a painting, because I like to start with more subdued tones, and so that I can kind of like pull contrast and chroma out of a more like subdued beginning.
Right, so you start toned down, so when you start getting more saturated, it quicker becomes a richer color.
Yeah.
Because of the contrast to the more toned down.
Yeah, rather than starting with like, some like super high contrast or super high chroma thing that I then later have to mute. Because then, the eye gets used to things and you start to like turn a blind eye, a sense to certain faults. And that's why you have to look at things in a mirror to kind of like reinvigorate a fresh look. But so the chalk, sometimes what I do is I'll mix the chalk not with the cooked linseed oil, because the cooked linseed oil dries very fast. It's a very tough film. So it's fine for the ground, but it's not suitable for anything else, really.
But
unless you really want that effect where you have like a sticky layer that dries fast.
How is that? Because I think that's important to clarify. So because you mentioned something before we went in here,
mm-hmm.
about the scale of the different oils, linseed oils being the one that is more, lay that out, because I think that's important to...
So there's like a whole spectrum of oil and its behavior. So like put, you know, linseed oil is on the most extreme end. And it has, it darkens the most, has the strongest film, and it dries the fastest, and is very sticky. And so because of all those things, you almost always have to have turpentine as part of the process of using it. I mean, some people say, oh yeah, I paint with just straight linseed oil. And you have to, maybe if you painted with like cold press and like you didn't let your brush out very long, cleaned up very quick afterwards, maybe you could avoid linseed oil, the turpentine in that process. But walnut oil is a very amazing alternative that's not very far in the other direction, which is, you know, paler oils that dry slower and have a weaker film, like poppy oil, clove oil, safflower oil. So walnut oil is a little bit closer to linseed oil, dries slower. Another quality of it that Da Vinci actually wrote about, and he wrote that he prefers walnut oil over linseed oil, is that it doesn't dry with this skin over it. So I don't know if you, like when you have like a, maybe you pour like a little puddle of linseed oil out, it'll dry with all these like wrinkles on it, and it has like a film, and you could just kind of like pick up the skin from it. And I saw a Da Vinci painting in Munich. I think it was one of his early experimentations with oil painting, and the whole face of the Madonna is like wrinkled like that.
So is it a problem with linseed oil that it's, so to speak, is too fat? Is that the issue? Or?
It's more fat, but it has to do with like the way the lipid chain reacts with oxygen. So it's like you have these fat molecules floating around, and then oxygen comes and makes them link together into a film. And I guess the way that lipid reacts to oxygen is just a little bit more aggressive than walnut oil.
If you want to see the entire segment, head over to caveofapelles.com/subscribe and become a $5 patron today. Watch all our conversations or shuffle through the Cave of Apelles audio playlist by becoming a member today at caveofapelles.com/subscribe.